It's the third podcast. Sorry, that's a great start. It's a third podcast from the Edinburgh Fringe. If you're paying attention, you may have noticed that there's no noise in the background. The last two podcasts that we did from the Fringe have been sort of guerrilla recorded out somewhere in the wilds of the Fringe. Normally, the Pleasance Dome or some sort of picnic table somewhere near George Square. We're not doing that today, mainly because the best laid plans have all kind of fallen apart, and Gordon's got some sort of Fringe clashing of the schedule. So you've only got me, I'm afraid, for today's podcast. But don't worry, there is chat to come. We've got some great interviews with Shambles Miller and some live music with Shambles Miller as well, and a chat with Josie Long, so that's quite cool. And I have been to lots of shows, so I am going to review some things as well, and hopefully this is probably going to take about an hour. Fingers crossed it's working live. Normally it does work when I do it from the house, but it's been so long since I've done it. So if you are listening live, you can tweet at me. At Edinburgh_man on Twitter. The bits of the podcast with the chats are pre-recorded, so there's no point tweeting at me during that. So that's not much good. Anyway, let's just play some more music while I catch my breath. This is Crank Resolutions by Merceau. I play it because Merceau are playing towards the end of the week, actually, which is at the Retreat Festival, which is at Pilrig St. Paul's down in Leith. I think that's next Saturday and Sunday, and it's only £12, so you should get along to that. This is Merceau and Crank Resolutions.
Thank you.
Well, this is a bit of an experiment because it's me doing a live Fringe podcast on my own, but it's also a sort of simulcast. It sounds really, really nerdy and techy. Normally, I just sort of broadcast it using a little application on my laptop, so it only just broadcasts from my house. But also now, I'm broadcasting today on Mixlr as well, which is some sort of website that allows you to broadcast to many, many more people. There's two ways of listening to it, so either on Mixlr or through the regular one, and it's all edinburghman.com/listen-live, but of course, if you can't hear it, then that's not much good that I've told you where to listen to, because you won't be able to hear me. So I don't know if anybody can listen live. I don't know if it's working at all, but I hope people don't tweet at me, because you should be outside. It's a really nice day. It's been horrible weather in Edinburgh for the last couple of weeks, and today is really nice and sunny. So if you're inside at midday on a Saturday during the Fringe and you're in Edinburgh, then you've done something horribly wrong, really. So I don't know what I've done to deserve this. I know what I've done. I've foolishly decided to make a podcast. Yeah, so I've been to see loads of things during the last few weeks, during the last week, and I'll maybe sort of tell you about some. I don't have Gordon to riff off me, or rather Gordon to slag me off, so I'll kind of try and go through it in as a manner as I can that's not really dull. One of the cool things I saw at the Fringe, actually, was Kristen Hirsch. I just saw her two nights in a row. She was actually playing four nights in a row, so you could have really done a week of it. She's from the Throwing Muses, of course, but she played at... irritatingly, she played at the Book Festival on Tuesday night, I think it was. She does a show that's kind of tied in with her autobiography, which is part spoken word and then part music. So she does like a spoken word bit and then a music bit, and a spoken word bit and a music bit. And she's playing that at the Spiegel Tent at the Book Festival. I didn't go along to it because I'd already bought tickets to the same thing at Cabaret Voltaire. But I did go along the next day. She did an interview at the Book Festival about the book. Book signing afterwards. I didn't go and stand in the queue of the book signing because it was a massive big queue, but she was fantastic at the book festival. It was really, really interesting to hear how she writes music, which is quite unique, I think, because she does have a bipolar disorder, so a lot of her music kind of comes from that, and her describing how she actually sees music before she writes it, and how she makes it come out of her. It's really quite inspiring, and the book sounds great as well. I haven't read the book, actually. I did one of these... I was meaning to read the book, but I knew that she was going to... I've been meaning to see her at a sort of a book thing for a while. Last time, I think I was in New York, she was doing a similar thing at a bookshop in New York. But the thing about the book festival is, if you've already read the books, it kind of ruins it, because most of the time is spent doing readings from books. So if you've already read the book, you kind of know what they're going to say. So I purposely haven't read the book before I went to see it, but it was absolutely brilliant. So that was good. And then, yeah, the next night she played at Cabaret Voltaire, which is, it's a kind of dank cellar type place. It's really kind of, I love it as a venue, but it's not really appropriate, I don't think, for a sort of spoken word evening. And it was so hot. It was damn hot. But luckily, normally I really like it when there's support bands, but there was no support band. I was so glad there wasn't a support band. Was it Thursday night at Cabaret Voltaire, because it was just so hot. So Kristen Hirsch did a sort of an hour and a half reading and sort of music, and it was fantastic, and the crowd were, for the most part, really respectful and kept quiet. So that was a great night. So yeah, two things. Of course, normally that's no good as a review for the Fringe, isn't it? Because it doesn't sort of say this is something you should go and see at the Fringe, because it's already been. But one thing I'm going to go and see next week, which is also Cabaret Voltaire, is Sebado, and I think this is sold out, actually, but I will play a track by Sebado. This is Rebound by Sebado, and this is, actually, I will say, what we've got coming up on the podcast, there's loads of cool, interesting things in the podcast. We've got two interviews, one with Josie Long, who's doing a wonderful comedy show called The Future is Another Place, and that's at the Pleasance Dome. So after I play Sebado, we'll have a chat with Josie Long. It's a pre-recorded chat, we did it last night. And also a chat with Shambles Miller, who I've played in the podcast before, and he did a sort of live busking thing out in the street. So that's to come on the podcast. It's probably going to be about an hour long. So I'll just play some more music. I'll shut up, stop talking, play some more music. This is Sebado, and this is off a re-release of Bake Sale, I think it is, which has just come out in a deluxe edition on Sub Pop Records. This is Rebound.
Why would
Rebound by Sebado. They're playing on Wednesday night in Edinburgh at Cabaret Voltaire. That's part of the Edge Festival, which I think used to be called Tea on the Fringe years ago. And there's actually, unusually, there are a few things at the Edge Festival that I want to see, and that's obviously one of them. Really looking forward to that. Yeah, so last night there was a special benefit for Shelter, and it was organised, I think, by Eagle Isle, but don't quote me on that. And it was at Summer Hall, which used to be one of the Edinburgh University buildings. I don't know if it still is. But after the benefit at Summer Hall, one of the people at it was Josie Long. So I sort of snuck into a coffee bar, bagged the table before lots of people came out, and Josie and I sat and had a wee chat. Mostly it was about her show, which is a very political show called The Future is Another Place. And I should say, actually, I should have done a sort of John Peel's style disclaimer at the start of the podcast to say something like, during the course of the next hour, you may hear language or be introduced to concepts that you find disagreeable. There's maybe some swearing in this, and there's maybe some swearing and some bad language before the end of the podcast is out. But hopefully you'll enjoy this chat with... I was going to edit this down because we chatted for ages and we probably could have chatted for much longer, but it was getting a bit late. So I could have edited this down, but I really didn't want to. So this is a good long chat with Josie Long, and I hope you enjoy it.
We're at a small coffee bar in the Summer Hall in Edinburgh, which I think is normally the Veterinary College or something, but I'm sitting with Josie Long.
Hello.
Thank you very much for doing the podcast.
It's my pleasure. I'm really chuffed to do it.
Hopefully I'll be able to string some words together, because normally it's a little bit ramshackle and crazy.
I'm going to be doing a lot of judging, like really serious judging right now. So listen to me, you better be of a high standard, otherwise I am going to be furious.
Well,
I know something about Summer Hall. It used to be the Veterinary College, but I think it's stopped now.
Oh, is it?
They've moved to a different building.
Ah, when I was at uni here, it used to be called Dick Vet, because it was the Richard something Veterinary College, but we all call it Dick Vet.
That's what I would have.
Obviously, because we were students. But you've just finished a show for Shelter?
Yes. If I had to award myself a mark out of 10 for it, I would give myself 4.5 out of 10. Like, I really enjoyed it, but I had to rush from my last gig and I was feeling a bit loose. And then what happened was, a certain member of a band made some disparaging remarks about me and Daniel Kitson, as if we were like sexual braggers, which we are not. And then I was very embarrassed because people were casting aspersions as to my romantic life.
That's outrageous.
It was outrageous. And but I enjoyed it a lot. I got to do a play about the Brontes, but I managed to do it in about a tenth of the time I normally do it in, which I really enjoyed. And I was thinking, like, I was doing my stuff and I was thinking, oh, they're not really enjoying it. And I was thinking, oh, maybe a few of them have seen the show and they're just like, we've seen all this. So I was like, oh, well.
One thing I've never really appreciated is that, even though, I mean, you've got, like, for a month, you've got shows virtually every night apart from one or two, but yeah. even when you've got your own show and even on the days off, you're doing other shows as well.
Yeah, you do about 4 or 5 a day quite often.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm trying to do fewer this year. Trying to do less performing, fewer gigs this year. Grammar is important. So I tend to do probably on average 2 a day. But yeah, in the past I've done like 6, 7, and especially when you're first starting out, because it's so exciting to have that opportunity to get up, do a gig at 11, do one at 12, do one at 3, do your show, do them all night, you know. You really fall in love with it, I think.
And you managed to keep going for a whole month?
Yeah, just about. Like, my voice is much hoarser than it normally is at the moment, and I'm a bit run down, but yeah, you do. You just kind of love it.
There's often this thing that goes around about 2 or 3 weeks in, some sort of fringe virus.
Yeah, festival flu, yeah.
Everybody's like some sort of... I think if everyone comes up from London like conquistadors,
yeah,
bringing their foreign viruses.
Bad luck. You got no immune system for these things.
We're going to be
ill. We caught this on the tube. Do you even know what that is, idiots?
We didn't have that. Yeah, we have some mythical trams, but we've never seen them.
Oh, did they really just stop bothering and then take them all away again?
They might do. They've kind of built some of it, but we may never see them.
I'm really sad about that. Trams are great.
Yeah, no, I like them. I mean,
it does seem like a gargantuan waste of money, but nonetheless, trams are nice.
For the sort of 200 feet that they travel for.
Mm.
Sorry, I should ask you. I've got loads of questions right now.
I'm really chuffed to be doing this.
Last year, your show had a few political elements,
yes,
but it still had quite a lot of sort of whimsical stuff about cakes or breakfast. And,
I wouldn't call it whimsical. I would call it hard-hitting, observations about the human condition.
Fair enough.
No, whimsical just means flights of fancy, doesn't it?
But this is a very much more political show.
Yes. It's quite explicit. Basically, I don't know, I try and write about what I really care about and what really interests me, and just this last year it's just preoccupied me the whole time. Like, I really feel, I suppose in some ways it's bad, I feel quite plagued by it. Like, I think about it all the time. I can't bear what they're doing. I'm so at odds with who they are and what they believe about the world and how it should be implemented, that I just can't stop myself. And it has reflected my life. Like, I have been on lots of demos and actions and stuff, and it's definitely what I'm most interested in, so I kind of want to write about it. But it's weird as well, because I've never had it before where, like, I often offend people by my existence, but I don't offend people by my opinions as much, you know, because before I was just doing stuff about, like, trying to enjoy your life, trying to be creative, you know, whereas this to me is really similar, because it's about trying to be kind to human beings and stuff. But when it comes down to how you spend other people's money, people hate it. They don't want to hear about it.
How do you find, were you nervous about doing it in front of people?
Yeah, definitely. It's been much scarier. And I've worked harder on it up here, actually, than I've ever really worked on a show once I got here. Normally, by the time I get here, I'm like, that's fine, let's just do it. Whereas here, like, every day I'm kind of tinkering. And yeah, it's been really scary. And I've had people heckling and people leaving. And, like, obviously I did have people leaving before, but that was because they took objection to me. No. Yeah, it's been harder. But I think it's going all right as a show. And I do like that thing about satire is in part, not that I'm saying it's satire, because it's, you know, it's not, it's just a fucking shambling woman giving it a go. But I like that idea that it's there to comfort the afflicted. Like, I want people who agree with me to come so that they feel made stronger by it. And I don't care if people disagree with me, don't like it, because they've got the government on their side. So they're doing all right, you know? They've got money, probably. They're doing all right. So I want people who feel a bit beaten down to come and be like, yes, I am not alone, you know, that's my dream.
We saw you, because obviously we're cheap Edinburgh locals, we saw you in the
2 for 1 classic, 2 for Tuesdays.
I suspect there was a few who the number twos were maybe people who hadn't done their research.
That's why they're called number twos, right? Right, number two, right? Yeah, and I've had that every now and again, but what's amazing is I can really feel when the crowd's on side, it's so electric.
Yep.
And it makes me feel really proud. And when the crowd isn't, when there's, like, some days there's, like, loads of nice mums and dads who've obviously gone, oh, Josie Long, she seems nice, you know. And it's hard, you know. But I'm also just, like, I feel like it's hard for me in a good way. Like, it's challenging, and
yeah.
I feel like hopefully I'm getting better. And at the very least, it's definitely going out on a limb, and that's always a good thing, right?
Yeah, well, I think so. I really enjoyed the show.
Thank you. And, I'm really, really grateful.
And I think that most of the crowd were on your side, apart from one uncomfortable-looking guy.
Yeah, that guy deserved to be. I don't know. I always have at least one person who doesn't clap and who looks furious. But if my dad persists on coming to this, come on. Sorry.
You say on the show, and also on Twitter, because I follow you on Twitter, when it happened this year, you had a car crash.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Quite terrifying.
Yeah.
How much of that, did that influence your show at all?
Yeah, I mean, I talk about it in the show, and it did, like, it really changed my life. I didn't really think it did at the time, because I just thought, oh, everything in my life is great. But actually, it's so weird to have come that close to dying, and because it was really like a big crash, and we were just, it was kind of miraculous. Oh, sorry, not table.
It's okay.
That's the one rule. But it was kind of miraculous that we survived. Like, and basically, it did foster more of an impatience in me. And yeah. I have sort of re-examined my life quite a lot. Like, I just kept thinking about, I have to accept what really is and not what I want, not what I think should be. And if what really is isn't good enough, I really have to change it quickly, you know? And I feel like that about the world. I feel like I'm sick of pandering. I feel like so much of the media panders to the right or is right wing. Like the BBC, the whole thing about BBC impartiality is don't say anything to offend the right, like the right wing. And I'm bored of that now. And I'm bored of feeling like I'm not allowed to say what I feel about like feminist issues or about social issues, because I actually really believe in what I'm saying and I trust it, and it comes from a place of like wanting people to be happy and wanting to change the world for good. So like it's ranty and ridiculous, but at the same time I'm much less ashamed, and I'm willing to give it a go, and I feel a bit like more of an adult now, I suppose, like more sure of myself, which is alright.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
The title of the show,
The Future Is Another Place,
it's taken from a book?
Yes, it's the chapter heading of the last chapter of a book by a guy called Danny Dorling, who's a social geographer, and he's so amazing. Like, he's so amazing because he's got righteous statistics on his site, so he can literally tell you exactly how population and wealth are distributed in this country, exactly what immigration means to different parts of the country, about what people do for a living in different parts of the country, accurately. And so he's right, and he's really lefty because he's right, because he's got all the facts. And he's so optimistic. I met him for the first time up here, and it was just so exciting, and he's so calm, and he was just saying, like, you know, we just have to think about these things in terms of how we want society to be run and what's practical. And it makes so much sense. And also, like, I always want to be like, guys, look at more equal societies. Like, there's this brilliant book called The Spirit Level, and basically it just goes, the more equal a society is in terms of income distribution, in terms of everything, the happier everyone is. It's simple, you know? And this country, our country, England, the UK, sorry, is second to America in the developed world in terms of inequality, like income inequality. I think it's something like 19% of all the wealth is owned by the top 1%. It's something so ludicrous that you'd be like, that's not true.
Yeah.
And it really is true. And in the last 30 years, all the wealth in this country has been funneled upwards to the real richest people. And most people are significantly less wealthy comparatively than they were in like 1977. And yet people don't believe that. And I feel really sad that people resent the idea of redistribution of wealth when it's couched in socialist terms, i.e. people shouldn't be able to inherit massive sums of money. There shouldn't be, you know, all this tax avoidance. People should have to pay, you know, there shouldn't be massive discrepancies between the highest and the lowest paid. People hate that because they think, oh, but that'll be me one day. But they don't accept the fact that over the last 30 years, the opposite has happened. All the money's been taken from the bottom, sucked right up and given to the top. Anyway, I rant. I fucking love to rant and swear. I rant and swear. I'm sorry, I'm boring. Whatever, I'm sorry. It's not a funny enough show. Yes, 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 I know, I understand. Come on.
The title also, it kind of... It's presumably influenced as well by that
situationism,
that car accident that you had as well, is it?
What do you mean?
Well, it made me think the future is another place. It is, the future and the now are quite different, and it's partly about living in the now, almost as if the future is going to be something.
I actually almost feel the opposite.
Right?
The reason I've called it that is because at some times this last year, like, I've had sort of some like big traumatic things, like I moved house and I was... I'm living on my own for the first time, and I think at times this year, like with the Tories and what they've been doing to things that I think are precious and vital, I've genuinely thought to myself, the future is another place and it has to be better than this because this is intolerable. And I want people to dare to dream that the future could be a completely different country. And another place is so good because you don't have to think about, well, in history this has happened, or because that makes you create patterns in your head that are fictitious.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, well, that happened then, so this will happen now, or, well, it's always been like that, so it has to be like this. But actually, you know, it could be a different country in the way that Sweden, that I love Sweden, is a different country. Do you know what I mean? Like, the future is different, and it's up to us to sort of decide that we're allowed to influence it.
Are you positive about the future?
Yes and no. Like, yes, because I truly believe that the only way that good things will come about is if people who are left-leaning speak up more, act more, join together. And I feel like the only way we'll do that is by speaking up and acting and joining together. And so those are things we can do. And I feel like the only way to give up is to quit. So I do feel optimistic, and I'm a relentless, ridiculous, boring optimist. But I also feel very, very sad because they're in power and they're doing these things, and they are doing them.
Yeah.
And they're doing them by stealth as well, and you can't keep tabs on it every day, and they are doing these things. But I also think, well, it was private, it was national, like, you know, certain things were private, they were nationalised, they were privatised again. Who's to say they can't be nationalised again if that's the right thing to do? Yeah. You know, there were tax, you know, they introduced the 50p tax ban, they might take that away again, like Cox, but they did introduce it, they can introduce it again. Like, I just think writing off the future and saying we won't get what we want is unhelpful, because actually in my life I've had a brilliant time of it, so maybe that's a template, you know? I'm so earnest and I'm so sorry.
No, earnest is good. I like earnest. I really enjoyed the show because it was it was quite different from a lot of fringe shows, which are often
quite sneery.
Exactly. Yeah. Music is obviously quite an important part of your life, at least as a lover of music, if not a musician.
Truly, I'm not a musician by any stretch.
Good, because I'm not either. I don't understand how these people can be.
No, how do they do it? How do they have the stuff going around their brains?
It's the ones that...
And their fingers move so quickly.
It's the ones that then swap instruments around.
Oh, yes. Or, like, record all the instrument parts themselves. Yeah.
One of my favourite lines, you'd get an extra star. If I was reviewing it officially, proper professional review, you got an extra star for the line about Scottish indie music.
7 stars? Sorry.
You just had a gig where you'd said that 5 times and it would have been a 5-star gig.
Yeah. I love Scottish indie pop. It's embarrassing how much I love Scottish music. But it's been since I was a teenager because I really love Ben Sebastian and Arab Strap and all kinds of other things that I can't think off the top of my head. But I'm sort of what I like, you know. I did Ball Boy, yeah, but I only like Ball Boy as a 20 something. But I do, yeah, I do like Ball Boy. I like so much Scottish, and I'm embarrassed. But also, what's happened is last autumn I went on tour and nearly died with my friend Johnny Lynch, who plays as the Pictish Trail, and he also helps run Fence Records and is part of Fence Collective. And so, getting to know him has really changed my life in terms of just finding all this new music, like him passing me on to things like Withered Hand and like Kid Canaveral and like all kinds of things. And also James Juxton, who I was into. My friend Maeve introduced me to James Juxton's music about 5 years ago and just blew my mind, really. I just adore it.
And you've been on Six Music recently and you've been sneaking in as many Scottish indie bands as you can.
Oh, yeah. I get a lot of pleasure out of it. But it is genuinely what I like as well. But yeah, I got a lot of stick as well for them saying that I love Scotland. And I'm like, it's not my fault. It's better than England. Like France. It's stuff hipsters like Scotland, France. We like all that stuff.
We have proportional representation as well.
Shut up. Show offs. Yeah, can you get sushi at 5 a.m? I probably can't, but I like to imagine I could in London. Shut up!
One more thing, we've talked for ages actually, I don't know, hopefully we'll all be able to go out and it won't have to be edited down or anything like that.
A lot, I'm sorry.
No, swearing's fine, I just have to tick the little iTunes explicit tag, as long as I remember to do that.
That's what I'm like!
Explain the mad swim.
Oh, I just love swimming outdoors. I it started last Edinburgh actually. I was up for the August and I was getting quite stressed and I decided I wanted to, because I've been swimming before August. I've been swimming in Hampstead Ladies Bathing Pods with my friend Hattie, who's around, and we got so into it that the water was really murky and we were like, we're going to take our swimming courses off. And we were like, woo! And we felt like the Mitfords. It was me, Hattie, and she left it on a hanger. It's a gorgeous vintage one. My friend left her swim on. It's me, Hattie, and Julie. We've had a grand old time of it. And so I was quite into that. And then last summer I went to Portobello and North Berwick. My friend is bringing me a drink.
Like an assistant.
You're the greatest.
It's the first time we've had an assistant on a podcast interview.
Well, listen, when you're as glamorous as me. No, but I went to Portobello and North Berwick last summer and it was like I discovered the key to doing the Fringe. And the key to doing the Fringe is don't read any reviews of anyone, because then there's no power. They have no power. And you just think, oh, you're just some fucking nerd. I don't give a shit. Sorry, nerds, because I am a nerd, but nonetheless. You get a bike, which I haven't done this year, and you swim in the sea. And you get so stressed. The thing about swimming in the cold sea is it's holistic. It covers your whole body. It's completely immersive, obviously. And it takes the stress away, and it's refreshing and wonderful. And so I started doing it, and then I thought, I'm going to go all winter. And I swam all winter in Tooting Beck Lido and in rivers and lakes, and on tour with Johnny and my friend James, we went in rivers, lakes, the sea, everything. Had a brilliant time, and it's really exciting. And swimming when it's very cold is not like you'd think it is. You think it's going to hurt your skin, and it doesn't. It just takes your breath away in this really exciting way, and you can't go in for very long, but it's good. I really love it.
And I like the fact that in the podcast, sorry, in the show, you played my favourite Owl Darling track.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which I've played on the podcast before.
I love it.
It just sends chills on my spine, that track,
oh,
for some reason.
God.
It's just the voice is so
fantastic.
Like
guitar as well. Mm. When I first heard that song, I went mad on Twitter. I was like, this song was written for and about me!
Excellent. Would it be too cheesy to play Cancel the Astronauts after this interview?
No, I would be bang into it. I think they're brilliant. I'm embarrassed at how much I love these Edinburgh bands because I just hate being such a like sad, dorky fan. But
there was a fantastic gig in February, which was... have you heard the Come On Gang album?
Oh, no, I haven't.
They did their farewell gig. They did their album, released it the same day and did their farewell gig, and it was Over the Wall, Kid Canaveral, Cancel the Astronauts and Come On Gang.
That's
and David from Kid Canaveral played the bass and Cancel the Astronauts.
That's a stacked bill.
It was brilliant. It was fantastic.
Well, that's why living in London is bullshit.
And anyway, the podcast, this is going to go out on Saturday, so there's still another week to go of The Fringe. So I will say, although I'm sure it'll sell out, Futures and Other Places at the Pleasance Queen Dome at 7 p.m.
Not the 22nd. Yep. I'm going swimming, hopefully, or water skiing or something. And then, I would love for people to come, especially if they were already left-leaning and onside. Then it will be fun.
You don't want any of the other persuasion to pick on?
No, they can go fuck themselves. And I mean it. Don't think I don't mean it, because I mean it. You are wrong, and you are going to hurt people. Do you understand?
Thank you very much, Josie Long. This is Cancel the Astronaut and Funny for a Girl.
Thank you.
Dance like everybody says. Let me see your arms.
Castle Astronauts and Funny for a Girl. I'm not entirely sure I can follow that. Obviously, what I should have done is put that last in the podcast so I didn't have to talk afterwards. Everything else that I see is going to feel like a bit of a come down. Obviously, we've still got a great chat and music to come from Shambles Miller, which should be exciting. There's also some cool music to go as well, but there is some random chat for me, I'm afraid. You're going to have to suffer that. Yeah, it was brilliant. Thanks very much, Isrosy Long, for taking the time out to chat. And I think her dinner was even later because we were chatting so long, so I think she was somewhat hungry by the end of it, but it was really, really great to chat with her. And she was so earnest as well at times when she was talking. It was quite difficult to keep my eyes dry. She was really, it was brilliant, and passionately loves Scottish indie music, so how can you not say fairer than that? So her show, which I recommend you go and see if you are in Edinburgh, it's called The Future Is Another Place. I don't think it's on the Monday. I think The Fringe technically goes to the 29th, but I think her show finishes on the 28th, and it's not on the 22nd, and I don't know what day that is. I'm completely confused. I'm terribly sorry. So I did actually go and see some other things during the last week or so. I'll maybe tell you about them. I went to see Henry Rollins last night, and that was kind of why I couldn't go to the Shelter LOL Fest that Josie was performing at, along with Daniel Kitson and Ball Boy, which would have been a brilliant gig. I went to see Henry Rollins. I've seen him before. I mean, he says at the start he doesn't do comedy. It's not stand-up comedy, but it is a sort of a spoken word show, which I'm sure you're aware of. It was at the Queen's Hall, and the Queen's Hall was seated, and it's not always seated, and I didn't really realise. I bought the tickets off the Fringe website. You didn't get a chance to choose your seats. We were in the furthest possible seats you could get from the stage. It was actually comically the furthest seats away. It was like right in the back row and the top right corner. You couldn't get any further. The plus side, it was nearest the door, so at the end we could get out fairly quick. But that was a bit weird. And it was interesting. I kind of enjoy Henry Rollins, but he's kind of he's really, really, when he tells his stories about wherever he's, because he does tend to go off in the world, whether it's for the National Geographic Channel or whether it's just a kind of his own adventures. He does kind of go off to strange places like sort of North Korea and in Africa with people hunting snakes and stuff like that. And a lot of that stuff was really, really interesting. Again, this is a show that isn't actually on. It was only on for 2 nights and it's gone. So this is no good as a recommendation or a review. So I really enjoyed most of it. But then he did a bit where he was talking about his assistant and when they were going to Costco to buy a ladder or something like that. And it did at that point. He says at the start of the show he's not a comedian, he's not a stand-up comedian, he's just a guy that sells stories, which is fair enough. But then this bit that he did kind of did seem like a sort of a comedic bit, which I didn't think set quite well. And he also sort of did a thing where he mimicked his assistant in the kind of as a demon, a cloven-hoofed demon, which kind of came across a little bit weird and maybe somewhat sexist to me. So for the most part, I really enjoyed it, but that bit didn't really sit well, and unfortunately, that was kind of at the end of it, and it kind of put a downer on the whole thing. So I seem to remember he's done that sort of similar thing before when I've seen him live. It's kind of like, for the most part, it's really good, and then sometimes he just does something that I don't think kind of works. So I quite enjoyed Henry Rollins, but that kind of didn't unsettle me that little bit. Maybe I'm just a sensitive soul. Anyway, I made two mistakes during that Josie Long interview. I mean, I probably made many mistakes, but there's two main mistakes I made. In that Come On Gang gig, obviously David from Kid Canaveral played bass with Come On Gang and not Cancel the Astronauts, so it was ridiculous for me to say that. And the other thing as well is the Allo Darling track I was talking about was Let's Go Swimming. It's off the album Allo Darling, and it's I haven't played it on the podcast before. It's not on the list of things that I can play on the podcast, so I've not played it on the podcast before. However, I'm going to play a track now by them, which is a different track. This is and it's got a kind of connection to Scottish indie music, so I thought I'd play it in one of the lyrics. This is If Loneliness Was Art by Allo Darling.
Doesn't matter.
Lang and If Loneliness Was At. So I've played, on the podcast before, I've played a number of times. I've played Shambles Miller. I really, really enjoy his music. And he played a gig, a secret gig, at, I think it was the Blind Poet a few weeks ago. Not this week, but it was last week. It was a really, really wet week. Anyway, I hooked up with Shambles and we had a recorded interview. Unfortunately, the first interview recorded didn't work. Don't know what happened there, but we did record another one, and we also recorded him doing a live track in the grass market in the pissing rain. So this is my chat with Shambles Miller, and some live music from him afterwards.
We're hiding out of the rain because it's been a horrible rainy day in Edinburgh, and I'm here with Shambles Miller.
Hello.
This is actually the second attempt, a shortened attempt. We've already recorded an interview, but technology failed and conspired against us.
An interview no one will ever hear.
It was a great one as well.
I know all
it
the
was
secrets that I told you, and all the scandal.
All the people that you slagged off.
I know, and all those things that people would never thought was true. Then no one will ever hear it.
It was also in the Petri Beer Garden under an awning, then most of the time all we could hear was buses going by. So yeah. It's a possibility that actually you couldn't hear anything apart
That's a
from
good
buses.
Point. We could sort of slightly deify this podcast afterwards and go, oh, it was fantastic, it was the best interview ever. But no, this is at least it's quiet here, apart from the rain.
It is.
Not too bad.
What do we want to say? Because we've already talked about it, but we've forgotten it.
Well,
you did a secret gig, actually. Let's.
I did a very secret gig. It was very secret. As all my gigs are secret.
I think most of the people in the place were aware that it was going on. So
yeah,
it wasn't
that's
secret.
True. It was. Yeah, I wish I'd. I used. I was playing with. Wait, let me think. Can I say who I was playing with?
You said earlier on you couldn't say.
I couldn't say. So I was playing with Johnny Hairbags and Boy Day LJC. I'm sure creative Googling can figure out who those people actually are. That's some pseudonyms for other people.
Ah.
But then I broke a string on the guitar and it would have taken too long to replace the string. So I just struggled on and then realised that I couldn't play roughly half my set because it really seemed to rely on that G string.
Cue G string jokes.
Yeah, I know. I know that was when someone went. When the girl whose guitar it was went, what string did you break? I went, the G string. And they went, oh, jokes. But yeah, I think I managed to muddle through.
Well, I didn't notice. It sounded great to me. But
oh, thanks very much. I think and I could see some folk enjoying it. There's a couple up the back that seem to be quite liking it, and some folk dancing.
There was a dancing couple.
Yeah, they were great. I loved them.
This is the Fringe in Edinburgh. You get all manner of weird things going on.
That's true.
Not that people wouldn't dance to your music anyway.
There's a couple of upbeat songs that would that invite a wee bit of a jig.
Definitely.
Yeah.
No, it was a good night, and I'm glad you came through Edinburgh, because I haven't been able to see you live.
That's true.
For ages, well, ever, really, because you're through in the West Coast.
I do. I play Glasgow a lot. Hopefully, I'd like to come back through to Edinburgh a wee bit more.
But you may have a gig during the Fringe at some point.
I might. This is the thing that we might have to either edit out or bleep out or leave in. But if it works out, I'll have a gig on the 26th of August in Cabaret Voltaire supporting Jack Savaretti. And if I don't, then I'll do something else.
Excellent.
Somewhere else.
That sounds good.
I mean, it might be in someone's house. But I'll figure something out. It might just be in the street outside the gig going, I was supposed to play and then I'm not. So we'll see how it works out. Hopefully.
Well, there's many. I think you could just turn up and play in the street if you wanted to. Although having said that, it's been raining for the last few days, so it's probably not.
We managed earlier.
We did. We went
got that wee song.
That's a segue, actually, into. Then I can edit this in properly.
I've
and
done
it'll
this
sound
sort of
very
thing before.
You were planning it, and I wasn't planning it at all. Earlier on, when it was raining, we went to the grass market and we found a little sort of cubbyhole, a carport, I think it was, or an entranceway of somebody's flat.
Judging by the chain that sort of suggested, don't come here.
But we didn't.
And
we
ignored
attention.
That chain, rebels that we are.
And Shambles played a track underneath there, and I hoped initially when you said you were going to come through, I thought it would be out in the grass market in the sun, and there'd be a crowd gathering around, and people would be applauding.
We could pretend that happened.
I could dub on lots of applause.
Just edit in a crowd, yeah.
But do you want to tell us about the track that we played? That you played, rather?
Yeah. It's called Ah.
How's that spelled?
AAARRGGHHH! Exclamation mark.
That's so I can put it in the podcast notes.
Well, you see, so but it's symmetrical because three A's and then two G's and then wait, No, 3 A's, 2 R's, 2 G's, and 3 H's. So symmetrical, because it goes 3, 2, 2, 3.
Yeah.
And then an exclamation mark, because it's a cry.
It's well thought out.
It's an ejaculation, technically. That is the technical term for that sort of thing. Like, oh, or hey. Those. That's technically an ejaculation.
Is that your English language degree?
That's what I use my English language degree for, to occasionally go... So when people laugh at the word ejaculation, I go, well, actually, and then spoil their fun. That's what I do. But yeah, it's the reason for the... Although the song's not about this, the title came about because I had this set of chords that I liked playing, and I play it quite a lot, and I had a tune. I had the full melody, which it doesn't normally happen when I write songs. Normally, I sit down and I'll maybe get a wee tune, and then I immediately get words. Like, once a song starts coming together, it kind of just goes... And then I get it, and then it finishes. My best songs are usually the ones that I write quite quickly. They just suddenly happen, and then I maybe tweak bits over time. But this song, I had the full melody and the chords and everything, and I couldn't find words for it. And I tried to write it about this subject and that subject, and nothing ever worked. And then just one day, I sat down and went, oh, maybe... And then this whole thing came out, and... the whole song just suddenly was there, and so the reason it was called is about having that writer's block for about 3 months, where I just couldn't find the words for it. So that's why it's called Ah. It's also quite good at gigs because I tend to tell that, or well, not quite this long, a shorter version of that story, and then step away from the mic as I say, that's why this song is called, and then I step away and go Ah. And it tends to get people's attention, if only because there's a man in the corner shouting, and you can't help but look at whoever that crazy man is. If it keeps their attention long enough to listen to the song, that's a bonus. If not, at least they're wondering who that dafty is. And then I go, that dafty is Shambles Miller. Please Google me.
Excellent. Well, this is Shambles Miller, and Ah. I didn't say that right at all. I said
yeah, that was fine.
That's fair enough.
Ah.
Okay. Thanks very much, Shambles. It's much appreciated for doing two interviews.
Cheers.
One Thanks. Mysterious one and this little one here.
Thanks. Thanks for having us. Cheers.
All right, we've moved underneath, out of the rain, underneath someone's carport, I think.
Yeah.
So we might get thrown out halfway through, but this Shambles is going to play a track.
Guerrilla Street Recording. this is called Ah. Sometimes my mind falls apart, just held together by my heart. My stomach churns when changes come, and nights of drink make my heart burn. A perfect body's something I may never know, 'cause I'm lazy and I've got allergies and a belly that's starting to grow. As for a healthy mind, that could be mine in time, as long as my heart and soul can keep my head in line. I don't like being left alone with these crazy thoughts that I call my own, so I use conversations to fall asleep, and the blather's where I find some peace. Don't worry, well, that's a lie. Worry's like a drug to me, I need it to get by. I don't want it though, and this is true. I'll find a way to quit it and I'll prove myself to you. Half the time I'm an open book, and out every week my spine might look. I assure you that it isn't so. I am stronger now than you well know. Half the time my book is closed, and why this happens I just don't know. All I want for you is to open me, read the words of my heart for you to see. I don't worry, well, that's a lie. Worry's like a drug to me, I need it to get by. I don't want it though, and this is true. I'll find a way to kick it and I'll prove myself to you. I know that deep down inside I have the strength to control my mind. It can curb my worries and stop my fears. The only thing it can't stop is a love of late nights with kebabs and beer. Oh, something I might never know, 'cause I'm lazy and I've got allergies and a belly that's starting to grow. As for a healthy mind, that could be mine in time, as long as my heart and soul can keep my head in line. Well, my heart and soul will keep my head in line.
Excellent, thanks very much, Shambles.
Cheers.
I can't just clap, pretend people are clapping at the same time. Yeah, yeah.
That was Shambles Miller and with an exclamation mark at the end, and with rain and wind in the background as well. I hope that didn't destroy your enjoyment too much. So thanks very much, Shambles. And he played a great gig as well. And what was that? That was at the Blind Poet. So he's playing on, I've written it down somewhere, it's on Friday, the 26th, which is with Jack Savaretti, and that's at Cabaret Voltaire again, as part of the Edge Festival. And I haven't really been reading stuff out on Twitter, but I guess the fact that people are tweeting me means it does actually work. Kingbo's Kitch tweeted me to say, enjoying the show, sir. Saw Josie Long last night and she was great. Thanks very much for listening. But she was brilliant. I really, really recommend that show. The Steve71 says, Sebado on Wednesday. Nice. I hope he's got tickets because I think it's sold out. So fingers crossed he does. And I think we're going to overrun slightly. I kind of was going to try and make it an hour. I do have to motor, actually, today. I'm going to see Dave Goldman at 2:30 at George Square. Normally, most of the shows are in the evenings, but now and again, when shows sort of sell out, comedians, especially comedians, stick on extra shows. So I took advantage of the fact there was an extra show on in the afternoon for Dave Gorman, so I'm going to go and see that. So it's kind of nice and civilised, I think. It means I can have a quiet night in, perhaps. Actually, The Last Battle are playing tonight. If you are in Edinburgh, it's Ox Jam's Wee Twee Eve at Pilrig St Paul's, and I can't remember who else is playing with them. That's awful. I think it's Sebastian Dangerfield, and I should have written it down, but that's later on tonight, and that's at, like I say, down in Leith. So I may get along to that. We'll see how I'm holding up. I am getting really, I'm suffering from fringe fatigue in a big way, so I'll see. I'll try my best. I'll do you one little more review, and the only reason why I'm going to do another review, even though I'm kind of, running out of time a little bit, is because I saw a show last week that I really enjoyed, and it was probably my favourite show so far of the Fringe. I saw Hot Tub with Kurt Bronhaller and Kristen Schaal. Kristen Schaal, you may know from The Flight of the Conchords. I saw them a couple of years ago, actually. It was the first time I saw them. I've seen them twice at the Fringe before. The first time I saw them, I got pulled down onto stage as a participant from the audience and had to go on a date with Kristen Schaal as part of a sketch, which was probably the most terrifying experience I've ever had as part of a Fringe show. And the other thing about it was that the week before, I had consumed far too much alcohol and hadn't drunk alcohol for a whole week, and the first thing they did was pour a massive big glass of red wine in front of me, and although I didn't really want to drink it, I was so nervous I just tanked it back. So that was quite terrifying. So I didn't, foolishly, I sat in the front row again, but nothing happened to me, thankfully. But it is a variety show called Hot Tub, and they do it in New York, where they have different comedians come on and do sort of guest bits, and there's song and dance, which is better than it sounds, and they do sort of turns both separately and together. But it is a brilliant show, and it's in a strange sort of circus tent in George Square as part of the Assembly George Square. I would highly recommend it, because it was just a great fun night. They are just both very, very funny, and they did a brilliant sketch, a ventriloquism sketch, where Kristen Schaal played the ventriloquist dummy, but they chose the sketch randomly, so I guess they may not do that every time, you should really, really get along if you like quirky comedy, because it was brilliant. And like I say, they have different guests on every night, so highly recommend it. Anyway, I'm going to play one more track, and this is the last track. Hopefully next week we'll have Gordon back, depending on whether he's got his Fringe schedule works out. But like I say, next weekend is the Retreat Festival, and I've already played a track by Merceau, who are playing at the Retreat Festival, and there's loads of great bands there playing, like Pineapple Chunks and Eagle Owl and loads of other Edinburgh bands. It is kind of a showcase of Edinburgh music, and there's also sort of there's food and films, and there's craft stalls and stuff like that. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's only £12 a ticket for the whole weekend as well. If you go on the Facebook site for Retreat Festival, just do a search. I'm sure you'll find it. If you Google Retreat Festival, you're almost certainly going to find it. Anyway, the Scottish Enlightenment are playing, and this is one of my favourite Scottish Enlightenment tracks. This is Saint-Germain. is thick tonight. I'm just going to end the podcast after this, actually, as well. So I'll say thanks very much for listening to the podcast. If you did listen live, thank you. Thanks to Shambles, and thanks to Josie Long so much for doing those interviews. That was brilliant, and I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and I'll see you next time.
Can't wait for it all.